Giri Badan Hari. Jaya Gopi Chana Balabha Giri Badan Hari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vadadhari. Yashodanandana Raja Janaranjana. Yasodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamunatira Vanachari. Yamunatira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Badadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Badadhari. Giri Badadha Yashodanandana Raja Janaranjana. Yashodanandana Raja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya. Asto Tadasati Shishi Mad, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Anata Koti Vaishnava Vindiki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Nitai Gora Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7. What's Canto 7? The Science of God. Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. I've nearly finished this chapter. What's the verse? What number is the verse? 52? 52? Yeah. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Parabhadra Bhadram Te. Pito Ham Te Surotama. Varam Vrishna. Varam Vrinishvabhimatam. Kama puros myaham shrinam. Sri Bhagavan uvacha. Prarad badra badram te. Prito ham te surottama. Varam rinishvabhimatam. Kama puros myaham. Hamrinam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Parad Bhadra Bhadram Te. Pito Ham Te Surottama. Param Rinishvabhimatam. Kama Purosmya Hamrinam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Prarad Bhadra Bhadram Te. Prito Ham Te Surottama. Param Rinishva Kama Purosmi Aham Rinam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Parad Bhadra Bhadram Te. Pito Ham Te Surottama. Varam Vrinishva Bhaimatam. Kama Purosmya Ham Ninam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Parad Bhadra Bhadram Te. Prito ham te surottama. Param rinishvar bhimatam. Kama purosmi aham ninam. Ladies. Sri Bhagavan uvacha. Parad bhadra bhadram te. Prito ham te surottama. Param Vinishva Bhimatam. Anotosam Hamminam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Parada Bhadra Bhadram Te. Prito Ham Te Surottama. Param Vinishva Bhimatam. Kama purosmi aham ninam. Sri Bhagavan uvacha. Parada bhadra bhadram te. Pito ham te surottama. Param rinishva bhimatam. Kama purosmi aham ninam. Sri Bhagavan uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Prahlad, O my dear Prahlad, Bhadra. You are so gentle. Bhadram. Oh, good fortune. Te. Unto you. Pritaha. Pleased. Aham. I am. Te. Unto you. Asura Uttama. O best devotee. In the family of asuras, atheists, varam, benediction, vrinishva, just ask from me, abhimatam, desired, kama puraha, who fulfills everyone's desire. Asmi, am, aham, I, nuinam, of all men. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings. And therefore, you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. Confirmed. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhaktavatsala. The Supreme Personality, who is very much affectionate to his devotees. It is not very extraordinary that the Lord offered his devotee all benedictions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, in effect, I fulfill the desires of everyone. Since you are my devotee, whatever you want for yourself will naturally be given. But if you pray for anyone else, the prayer also will be fulfilled. Thus, if we approach the Supreme Lord or his devotee, or if we are blessed by a devotee, naturally we will automatically achieve the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadaha. Srila Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur says that if one pleases the Vaishnava spiritual master, all of one's desires will be fulfilled. Om Magyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dharatisva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pungum Langayate Garim Yad Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishvaram. Okay. Lord Nrisimhadev is offering benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj, and That's because he is what? What's the word here? So what's the Sanskrit word? And what's the English? Hands up if you think you know what the quality of Prahlad Maharaj is that endears him to Lord Nrisimhadev. Hands up if you think you know. And what's the Sanskrit and English?
Paramahamsa.
That's not in this verse, Paramahamsa. What's the word? Krishna? Huh? Bhadra. Yes, Bhadra. And what's the translation for Bhadra? Hands up if you know. If you think you know, hands up. Yep. So gentle. So gentle. Yes. He's gentle. Isn't that interesting? He's so gentle. And so because he's Bhadra, then Nrisimhadev says, Bhadram te, right? All goodness to you, all good fortune. Yeah, gentle. So interesting quality of a devotee. My Prabhupada said, the anecdote goes something like this, that my disciples will be known because they're gentle men and gentle women. But one of my friends wrote to me this morning and said they were preaching, they met their niece in London. Right. And obviously must have been preaching to her because she wrote back and said, thanks for introducing me to ISKCON, but basically no thanks. You know, and my experience with ISKCON and probably with my friend is that they're too pushy. Too pushy. And of course, you know, we're enthusiastic about our distribution of Krishna consciousness. We want people to be devotees. And there's a good reason for that. We want others to experience the good fortune, right? The bhadra, that we're all relishing as devotees. Huh? This morning we came to offer Damodar our hearts. We're offering some candles, but we're actually offering our heart to Krishna. And Mataji, I've forgotten your name. Priya? I can't, one person at a time, and say it loudly. Priya. Priyamvada. Vada. Vada. Priyamvada. Beautiful. Very nice. Very meditative. Very gentle, right? Nice atmosphere. We're all blissing out. Floating. Floating in Vaikuntha. Well, at least I was. Anyway, I don't know about you. Right. And, you know, that's a sweet relish, isn't it? To have that opportunity to experience the bhakti rasa. It's a rasa, it's a taste, it's a mellow. We have bhakti rasa. Basi, bhakti rasamrita. Right? It's a nectar. Amrit. It's the taste of eternal life, right? And there's an ocean of it. We're all swimming in that ocean of Amrit, Bhakti Rasa Amrit. So we want to share that with others. And this is an interesting character, an interesting feature of Prahlad Maharaj's character, which shows up in the next, I think it's probably the next chapter, right, which is called Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees. Right? And Lord Nrisimhadeva is offering him a benediction, but what does Prahlad Maharaj want? So I don't want anything. I want you to bless others. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj wants Nrisimhadeva to bless his father, who's a demon. You know, speaking of the best of demons, Prahlad Maharaj is the best of demons because he's the best devotee. Hiranyakashipu is the best of demons because he's the best demon, just demon full stop, right? And yet, even though Prahlad Maharaj is born in a family of devotees, born in a family of demons, he's a wonderful devotee, and exhibiting that or demonstrating that quality. Who's he concerned about? He's concerned about the welfare of his father, even though his father has persecuted him so much. Right? Tried to boil him in oil, trample him with elephants, you know, bitten by snakes, throw him off a mountain. So many challenges that Prahlad endured and yet was protected by Krishna. But still remained equipoised and considerate and desiring the welfare of everyone, effectively, even his father, who's a big demon, and his enemy, effectively his enemy. Ordinarily, parents would be considered the well-wishers of their children, right? But as Prabhupada points out, you know, we can determine who's an enemy and who's not by their behaviour. Right? Somebody will tell you that they're your friend. I'm your friend. I'm your supporter. Right? And then by their behaviour, you can tell they're not. Right? You say you're my friend, but what's that dagger in my back? Have you experienced that? Experienced people saying one thing and doing another? You've not experienced it, is that right? You have experienced it. Or you're not sure. Or don't want to own up. It's a shock. Isn't it a shock? When somebody who you thought was a friend, you discover actually they don't. Or here's the interesting thing. The interesting thing is that they show friendship, but then they also show animosity. What's going on here? Right? So it can be very bewildering, right? So ordinarily one's father would be one's protector. Right? In the case of Hiranyakashipu, he's an enemy. Enemy. Yet, despite that bewildering situation, you know, that would bewilder anybody. If your father was trying to kill you, that would be bewildering. Yet, Prahlad maintained his equanimity towards his father. This is a a good quality of a devotee. They're gentle and equipoised with everyone, whether they're an enemy or a friend. Dira, dira, jano, priyo, priyakaro, nirmatsaro, pujito. This is a description of the Goswamis, right? Pleasing to everyone, the dhira and the adhira, the sober and the drunkards or the lower class of society, the persons who don't have controlled senses. Basically, dhira means one whose senses are controlled. So equal to everybody, and worshipped by everybody, pujito. And non-envious is a quality of a devotee. Not envious of others, which makes them gentle. So when Hiranyakashipu demonstrated his anger towards his son, which is not unusual, by the way. Hands up, who's a parent here? Please raise your hands if you're a parent. Have you ever got angry with your children?
Absolutely.
Mother Yashoda got angry with Krishna. She got so angry with Krishna, she showed him her stick. So it's not unusual that parents get angry, I suppose. So maybe that's why Prahlad Maharaj is not surprised by his... Although it's said that Prahlad Maharaj was gentle from birth, right? So different kind of anger. The anger of Hiranyakashipu is quite unreasonable, whereas the anger of some parents is quite reasonable. And even sometimes the resident... It's described in the Gopala Champu that the anger of the residents of Vrindavan towards Krishna is like lightning in clouds, right? Right? It flashes and then it's gone. In this particular case, and you know, we can understand that Krishna was being naughty, actually. He's being naughty, and so is, and this is why parents get angry, because the children need to be disciplined. Right? But in this case, what Hiranyakashipu was doing is completely unreasonable, just envious, nasty animosity towards a devotee. Which is not unusual. Even the devotees may be the most gentle and inoffensive, still the response of the demons is sometimes unreasonable and has to be tolerated. The pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada said, is instructive because it teaches us that a devotee has to be tolerant sometimes of mistreatment, of disrespect, of animosity. But again, following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, one has to tolerate, one has to be tolerant of the intolerance to the devotee, to devotional service, effectively. So, displaying these good qualities makes Prahlad Maharaj the recipient of Lord Nrisimhadeva's affection. Because he is a gentleman and he's seeing everybody equally and is concerned about the welfare of everyone. This is a symptom of the Goswamis. They're Krishna Kirtana Gana Natana Paro. They are performing Kirtan. Sri Chaitanya Kripa Baro Bhuvi Bhuvo. They've got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and they're distributing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So this is a symptom of a devotee that they're concerned about the well-being of others. But my recommendation is don't preach to your relatives. Make friends with your relatives. Don't preach to them. If they inquire, then you can give information. But just make... In fact, this is probably a good rule of thumb for all preachers. Make friends with people first. Right? Then give them a book. Is that right, Bhakti Lata? Make friends with people, then give them a book. Let the book do the preaching. This is what Prabhupada recommended. Spend 3 minutes with somebody, enough time to give them a book. Don't preach too much. Right? I remember when I started to go to the temple, chant 16 rounds and I thought I was a strict devotee. And then actually my brother came to visit us. My mum used to send my brother to visit me from time to time to find out what I was up to. So anyway, I gave my brother the sauce, told him if he didn't chant Hare Krishna, then he was going to become a hog, a dog and a camel or an ass in his next life. And he was less than impressed at the time. And I kind of realised, I need to take another approach. That didn't work. I need to take another approach. And I remember later on in my career, still a relatively young devotee, and I noticed that people that I would talk to at the Sunday feast, when we got to chanting 16 rounds was okay, but no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex usually turned people off, right? And it's interesting, isn't it, when Prabhupada, in the first initiations, Prabhupada didn't mention those things until the initiation itself. So I think, this principle, make friends first, right? Even Krishna recommends, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant, encourage them in acts of devotion, right? So the people become purified. People become enlivened and enthused in the association of the devotees. And where there's inquisitiveness, where there's inquiry, then we can give information. Otherwise, hi, how's it going? Here, read this book. This is a good formula, rather than have you seen the Christians in Bourke Street Mall, right, with the Bibles? Repent, or you'll be going to hell. Right? Jesus loves. Right? They say Jesus is love, but if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to hell. Hey, turn around and face this way. Yeah, good. That's, yeah. Put that down. I think that's a distraction. What do you reckon? Hey? Good boy. Now, so if you misbehave in a Bhagavad Gita class, you go to hell, okay? At least you get the attention of the speaker and a bit of... Yeah, that's good. You're sitting very nicely. But don't play with the paper, okay? You too, oh boy. Okay, so... because of his good qualities and his, and you know, those good qualities being concern for others, which is a natural characteristic of a devotee, a concern for others and a desire to share what we're experiencing, the relief and the pleasure, the mellow of bhakti rasa, which comes from chanting Hare Krishna, comes from the association of the devotees, it comes from hearing the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, it comes from rendering service to the deity, it comes from kirtan, comes from japa, comes from honouring prasad. Was it Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and then all of the corollaries of the nine items of bhakti. That gives rise to, what is it? The nectar for which we're always anxious. It's pleasure. And it's a pleasure that you can't get from material activities. And in fact, it's a pleasure that can't be given up. And in fact, the devotees will give up anything to get that experience of bhakti ras. You know, I mentioned this many times this year. Almost every day we get a positive review on Google My Business, and people say this is the best place, right? Tranquility, peaceful, and the food's good, right? The food's good. So it's almost intangible in that, you know, you can't measure it, but you feel it. We feel it. So we come every day to relish that that which you can't get anywhere else. Right? Can't get that experience, that feeling that's available for the devotees when they're chanting Hare Krishna. And, you know, just performing all of the activities of bhakti. So, the devotees are special in that regard, because by their association, we get that opportunity to associate with Krishna. We get the opportunity to associate with the devotees. And in the association of the devotees and in the association of Krishna, we get the most valuable, the most relishable, the most valued opportunity to engage in devotional service and to experience that bhakti rasa, because it, you know, that's the natural identity of our being, our very being, ourselves. What is it? Namamishvaram Satchit Ananda Rupam. Right? I offer my obeisances. Namami. Right? Namami. Ishvara. Ishvaram. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Controller. Right? We sing it every morning, or have been singing it every morning. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Controller, Satchit Ananda. Right? He has a eternal, knowledgeable, blissful form. And because he's the source of everyone, he's the original being, right, the original personality of Godhead, we also have the same, because we're coming from him, he's at, what is it? Mama evamsa jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatanaha, right? We are all anksas or parts of Krishna, right? And because he's Satchidananda, our original form is also Satchidananda, not this smelly, stinky body, right? Because we, our philosophy is Beda Abeda. We're different from, but also the same as, right? So we know that we're spiritual by nature, but of course we've still stuck with the body. But our original form, and the advantage and the opportunity that the human form gives us, is to realize our Satchidananda, our original Satchidananda form. And we experience that when we're in the association of the devotees. We experience that when we're in Krishna's association. And of course, when we're with Krishna, what does that mean? We're always with the devotees in any case, because Krishna's not without his devotee. So in the association of devotees, we relish that experience. We get an opportunity to engage in that Satchit Ananda atmosphere. Right? Can't get that anywhere else other than in the association of the devotees. Right? And to get that is the greatest benediction, the greatest boon. You can't get anything more valuable, which is why we'll give up anything to get that opportunity to associate with. Once we've had that good fortune, then and we learn to value that opportunity, we'll give up anything. What motivates the renunciation of devotees like Raghunath Das, who, because he was so absorbed in his spiritual identity, he forgot to eat and sleep, practically speaking. Well, not to be imitated. It's not that not eating and sleeping gives bhakti. No, it's the other way around. Bhakti gives rise to renunciation. Renunciation doesn't create bhakti. Sometimes it's Kartik, you know, so the very thing, oh, Kartik, oh, give up sweets. Which might not be a bad idea for some, right? But may not necessarily give bhakti, by the way. Bhakti gives everything, ultimately. So, and even if you're a demon, right? Prahlad Maharaj is described here as, what is it? Asuruttama. He's the best of the asuras. But why is that? Why is he the best of the asuras? Not because he's a big demon like Aranyakashipu, but because he's the best devotee. He's got bhakti. And that's the most important thing. So, it's mentioned here, if we get Krishna's mercy, then we'll be favoured by Krishna. And we can understand by the very fact that we hear that we've received that mercy. That's why we should appreciate what we really appreciate what we have here is Krishna's mercy. And of course we have that mercy primarily because of the mercy of the devotees. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutopi. Without the mercy of the devotees, effectively, we can't get Krishna's mercy. So this is considered to be the most, you know, the most valuable boon, this opportunity to associate with the devotees, and because of that association we get Krishna's mercy. And Krishna's mercy is we get to associate with him, even in the material world, so-called. It appears that we're in a material world, 197 Dank Street, Albert Park, right? Or wherever you happen to live. But actually it's not. And that's why we have that. We feel, especially in the month of Kartik, because this is a very special month to perform devotional service. Very dear to, it's Radharani's month, right? Very powerful to perform devotional service. And then in that atmosphere, in that environment, we all feel great transcendental pleasure, bliss, right? Then we start thinking, oh, I'm really advanced. In fact, you know, it's very interesting. I was thinking about this the other day. Kartik is a time when we do all of the things that we should be doing all throughout the year, right? We should all be coming every morning and greeting the deities and chanting Hare Krishna. But in Kartik, we make a special effort to do what we should do for the rest of the year. And we feel like this, we'd feel like this all year rather than just for a month. We get super enthusiastic for a month. Oh, that was nectar. And then for the rest of the year, I take it easy now. It's not Kartik. But then lose the benefit, lose the opportunity. So, Prahlad Maharaj has got Lord Nrisimhadev's mercy, if you like, because he's saying to him, "Whatever you want, I'll give it." Right? And if one gets the mercy of a devotee, then one will also be benefited. And if we can get the mercy of a devotee, then that's the most valuable thing. That's why the devotees go out and chant Hare Krishna, distribute books, give good association, set a good example, be gentle men and gentle women. Is what Prabhupada wanted us to be. Don't be fanatics. Right? Everybody hates a religious fanatic. Right? They're the worst kind of fanatic. We should be fanatics, and we are fanatics, right? But that doesn't mean we should behave fanatically, right? This is where the word fan comes from, right? Did you know that? Not the fan, but the fan fanatic. So yes, we should be fanatic, but we shouldn't be fanatical, right? We should be strict, we should be focused, we should be determined. And we see that from Prahlad Maharaj, right? But we should be gentle men and gentle women. And that has a big impact on people, huge impact, rather than twist people up, you know, twist their arms off. Does that make sense? I remember once I was selling full sets. This is in the early to mid 1980s, and I remember going to one fellow's place, and I'd figured that he wanted a set of Bhagavad Times because he'd been in touch with us, and I went to his place and showed him the books, and I could tell he was enthusiastic. And so I said, you know, in sales, basically you have to ask the question. You know what the question is? What's the question? In sales, what do? Anybody here in sales? Okay, what's the question? Don't understand the question. Okay, well, I'll tell you the answer. Why don't you buy it? Because, you know, various ways. But he said, no, I can't. And I was kind of tempted to kind of, you know, get stuck into him. I thought, oh, no, Hare Krishna, you know, he's not ready. Right? The tendency is, you know, if you've gone all of that, you've put all of the effort into finding somebody, they're interested, and, you know, then they say, oh, no, I don't want to buy. So you think, oh, God, I wasted all that time. And so then you get stuck into the person. So I decided not to. And as it turned out, a year later, that devotee rang me up and he said, hey, Aniruddha, I'm ready to buy that set of books. I've got some money now. I didn't have enough money at the time, which is fair enough, right? You know, there are many reasons why people might not do something. But if I'd twisted his arm off and chewed him up. Just like yesterday, I got an email from one of my friends, another one of my friends. Well, I don't know about a friend, acquaintance, right? He puts out a newsletter every week. Used to be in this temple, actually. Used, was a devotee in this temple sometime. And the headline of his blog post was, you want to listen to this really savage Bhagavad Gita class? I thought, oh yeah, I'd love to listen to a savage Bhagavad Gita class, right? Which kind of goes against, you know, it does. Prahlad Maharaj is not recognized in the Srimad Bhagavatam for his savageness, right? But rather he's known for his gentleness. And that's what we should be. We should be gentle in our dealings with others. That attracts people, just that equanimity. It was recognized in the Goswamis. It was recognized in Srila Prabhupada. Of course, Prabhupada could be heavy, but that was with his disciples. That was with his followers. Right? With everybody is very liberal. Yes, if you want to be a Christian, be a good Christian. If you want to be a Muslim, be a good Muslim, right? With his disciples, chant Hare Krishna, right? More firm. But anyway, this is what we need to practice, this art of being gentle men and gentle women. Any comments or questions? From the gentle men and gentle women. Prabhuji. A mic. That might be stretching it. I think our technical staff have gone on holidays.
I see that you repeatedly say this thing, that be gentle to others.
Yes.
Be humble. So what is the essence of that? What is the background?
What is the essence of being gentle?
And
yes, yeah.
Yeah, so a Vaishnava has to be gentle.
And that's very interesting because look at the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna's natural tendency was not to fight his relatives, to be a gentleman, right? But Krishna was in consideration of the circumstance, said, okay, now's time to fight, right? So it requires maturity to understand, when should I be combative and when should I be gentle, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And so, but most of the time a devotee's demeanor is sama, right? First quality of a brahmana, samo.
Sorry?
Sama. Samo. Samo tamastapaso cham chanti marjavamevacha. These are symptoms of one who's influenced primarily by the mode of goodness. Right? So equipoised. And I mentioned in the beginning of earlier in the class how the Goswamis were dear, they were equal to everybody, non-envious of others, right? And friendly, basically friendly. Huh? Goswamis were friendly.
Yeah.
And that's what devotees should be. Yeah.
And as you mentioned that Arjuna didn't want to fight in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because he was covered with tamaguna, right?
Tamaguna. Well, yes and no. It's explained by the Acharyas that for our benefit, Arjuna was covered by Krishna's arrangement, right? So that he exhibited that bewilderment, and that gave rise to the speaking of the Bhagavad Gita. But Arjuna never lost his natural aptitude or natural tendency to be a servant. And so in that sense, even his bewilderment was in service to Krishna. Right? So Arjuna, even though apparently under the mode of ignorance, was engaged in that way by Krishna so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. So in ignorance, yes, but in ignorance, no. Does that make sense? Yeah.
No.
No. Yeah, no, no.
Please explain better. Yeah, well, explain more. Yeah.
Not tama guna like us, you know, asleep to Krishna and asleep to devotional service. Even in Arjuna's ignorance, he was rendering service to Krishna by facilitating the speaking of the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Quickly. That's good. Okay. Hare Krishna. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai.
Yeah. belong to the teacher.